Well, if you're not in Hebrews chapter 5 there in verse 11 and looking down to verse 9 down to verse 14, that's where we are. You know, if you think about Frenchman's Bay, if you live in Albany here, you know in certain parts there it's so wide, but yet you can walk in it. We don't want to be a church like that, do we? Kilometers wide and a meter deep. God saves us in Christ to grow. And the fact is, as we think about missions today and we hear from Andrew Letchard a little while about the Great Commission and Presbyterian Inland Mission, we need to remember what Jesus said, that we're called to go and make disciples. And we can't give out to a community or world what we're not growing in ourselves. And we're called, yes, to share the gospel, yes, to be witnesses to the end of the earth, but to make disciples. Now, if you think about the world, and you think about physical growth, we know that stunted growth is universally regarded as tragic. When something's not growing, it's not good. But do we think about that in our own spiritual lives, in our own churches, when there's not spiritual growth like there ought to be, and there's arrested spiritual growth, and people don't become big people spiritually, there's a problem when people aren't growing up. Now, there's a sign in Chicago in front of a museum that says this: the evidence of life is growth. And how true that is spiritually. If a child doesn't grow, we know medically there's something wrong and something needs to be looked into. But do we look at that? A much greater tragedy is when there's not spiritual growth. God wants us to grow up, yes, physically, but emotionally, and most of all, spiritually, if we're Christians. We're meant to mature in Christ. And I don't know about you, when you sometimes are a pastor for years and you get around different people who've been in church for many, many years, and you wonder, why is it that people aren't growing as they should? They've heard lots of sermons, apparently, but they still seem to give into their sins and gossip and they're unloving and they're not growing. They're not really becoming like Jesus Christ. And we all have to look at ourselves, don't we, in that? Because of course we grow by grace. But the writer of Hebrews, and God through him, gives us some great truths that help us to see how we grow as disciples so we can do the Great Commission. So we can pass on what we've been given and share the gospel and make disciples. So how do we grow? What deters growth? Because we're meant to see people come in the church and be converted through the gospel, become competent through God's word and committed in Christ and creative as disciple makers. We're meant to grow in that. And how does it happen? It happens as we take in God's word and as we give out God's word and as we live out God's word. But there's some key principles we see here starting in verses 9 to 11 that help us to understand what growth is all about. Number one, perceive the problem. You see verse 9? And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say. Here's the key: hard to explain. Yeah, we looked at that last week. Since you, here's the key, have become dull of hearing. You know, the Greek word for dull here, somebody said, has to do with slowness of perception due to moral laxness. It was a word used sometimes for an epithet of a mule. And mules, we know, aren't the greatest thinkers, not the most intelligent of animals. They're good for carrying loads, but you don't ride them, you don't exercise them, you work them. Sometimes Christians even can get to where they're dull of hearing. They're mule-minded. They're dull-minded. They've regressed to a point where they're of very little use at the time to the kingdom of God and making disciples. And it's not because God saved them for this, of course. And it's not ultimately because the word of God is hard to take in. It's because something has happened to them. The real problem, they become dull of hearing. You know, Swindoll says, think of an unambitious adolescent who has to be told hundreds of times to get off the sofa and do his chores because he's immature. He's not responsible. It'd be like a teen who wants to become an engineer one day, you know, and they've got to have a grasp of calculus to do that, but they haven't listened in algebra along the way or trig, and then they're mad when they don't understand the calculus. Because they haven't listened, they haven't learned. They were sluggish, these Hebrews, when it came to God's Word and listening, many of them, and learning. And they were lazy at learning God's Word regularly, the writer says. And therefore now it was hard for them to grasp what they should have been getting about Christ's ministry for them. What the writer's been telling them, and God's told them about Christ's ministry as a high priest. A little bit of what we read there, if you're new with us today. Someone said Christians can casually drift into a low standard of reading the Bible, minimized focused on the Bible, maybe pondering a few verses here and there, failing to acknowledge their need. They slowly lose their desire for God's Word. And that can happen. This describes here those who develop a couldn't care less, or we say here sometimes, couldn't be bothered attitude when it comes to God's Word. And they fail to give themselves to a regular, methodical understanding of the Word of God and what it means for today. You see, in context, the author here, he's taking a break. You almost say, look, what's happening here? Why is he saying this abruptly? Because he wants to wake them up, the original readers, and us. He's been preaching about the priesthood of Christ, talking to them about the powerful truths that are there of how we can come to God and how we grow in Christ. And how Jesus is the answer to everything and all we need. And he's been talking, we saw last week, about how he's the ultimate priest. And we can come to God fully in him. He's carried out the final sacrifice Jesus has. And he's been talking about all that means for coming to God in prayer, taking advantage of the resources of faith we have. And then he talks about Jesus as the eternal priest in the order or pattern of Melchizedek, and it'll come back up in chapter 7 and 8. But here he stops, as if to say there's much more to say about this, but the reality is you need to think about it before we continue, because he's saying to these original people, you're not going to get it. And the problem isn't ultimately, though there are some deep truths here, yes, that can be a little hard to explain. The real problem, he's saying, is what's happened to you. Of whom you have much to say about all what we've said in Jesus' priesthood, hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. He recalls, somebody said, that many of his hearers haven't grown enough spiritually to grasp what he's talking about, and they need to grow up. Now the point is that, as he says later in these verses, they're infants when they ought to be teaching others about the gospel. And the point is they haven't grown to spiritual maturity, taking in the milk of God's Word to where they can then teach others, but also have the spiritual teeth to chew the meat of God's Word that they ought to be able to take in by this point. Somebody said those that are trained in the Bible, progressing in it, are better equipped to understand Christ's work. Those who shut their ears to God's Word regress in faith. And they fumble in their understanding. The point is, while the truth of Christ's priesthood, obviously there's difficulties there, the real issue we have to look at is ourselves, don't we? And whether or not we've gotten into a mindset of a dullness of hearing, Kent Hughes says this is an acquired condition characterized by an inability to listen to spiritual truth. Where are we? This is their whole mindset towards God is what caused them to be slipping into immaturity, regressing, not maturing like they ought to, not applying God's Word, so that then as they grew, they'd have the teeth to chew the meat of the Word and take in more of it and grow deeper in what is hard but yet understandable truth in God's Word. It wasn't that they were intellectually slow, unable to get it that way. It was a moral problem. They were lazy. As one man said, they listened with the attentiveness to God's Word of a slug. That's a hard way of saying it, but hey, it's true. But you know what? How do we remember what God says to us in His Word if we're sluggish of hearing, we're lazy about listening and taking it in and putting it into practice? How do we change? Well, one of the things we have to do, as James 1 tells us, is not be like those who look at ourselves in God's Word and then forget what we look like. Do you remember what God says through His Word? Somebody said the shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory. Are we writing it down?
That helps us to remember. You can look like, hey, you know, you've got it all figured out and you're not writing like everybody else, and maybe that's embarrassing, but what are you going to remember later on about what God's Word has to say? Preachers throw out pearls of wisdom, God's truth, and I believe it won't come back void, as Isaiah says. But it's almost like it can, as one man said, hit people's heads and just boing, bounce off. And you throw out another one and boing, it bounces off. And you can look great as you look like you're listening. But what are we going to remember? We're not going to grow if we don't take it in and remember it. You realize in the Great Awakening time of revival many years ago, there became an interest in shorthand. Why? Because they wanted to write down the sermons as much as they could. And it wasn't unusual to see men with a portable inkwell strapped to their back and a quill pen behind their ear. And of course, though, in time, that excitement died down just as it was with the Hebrews, and it can today. And the point is, the writer is saying, yes, these are hard truths to get in a way, but the real problem and what is making it impossible and so hard for you to get it is what's happened to you. James 1 says, be slow to anger, quick to listen, so that we can become doers of God's Word. You know, if you want to talk to somebody on your mobile phone, well, you don't just know the number, right? You've got to actually put it in. If you want to buy something, you've got to pay the price. Why do we think it's any different with growing through God's Word? That we wouldn't need to if we want to grow to know God, hear His Word, apply His Word, to really know Him, to really grow in Him. We've got to do that if we want to mature. This guy named Baxter, he said, make it your work to apply the Word as you hear it. He said, you have a work, as well as the preacher, Richard Baxter said, and should all the time be busy as he, you must open your mouth and digest it, for another can't digest it for you. And that's key, folks. Are we listening to God's Word as we hear it preached? Or we read it? Or we hear it taught? Are we listening? Are we looking? Are we reflecting? Are we writing down? Are we engaged? See, this is key. When you hear God's Word, keep your Bible open. Ask God to help you to see the flow of thought, to bring to mind other verses that fit with it, to write down the applications the pastor gives you, to write down your own applications. Begin to seek God to help you know what it means and how it applies and when you're going to apply it, or else you can become sluggish in hearing. And that was the problem he wanted them to see, is that we can get like this and we won't grow. And if we're sluggish in hearing, we're not going to grow in Christ-like maturity and live differently, being able to take in greater truths and know more about who we are in Christ. Because, folks, God isn't going to give us meat if we don't have the teeth to choose the meat. And if we've not learned to apply the milk and use it and apply what He's given us, He's not going to give us more meat and deeper things to grow in Christ in. And that's one of the things we have to understand. I know this is challenging, but it's what the writer of Hebrews wanted them to see as well. He wanted them to stop and think before they moved on. And that leads me to the second thing about growth that we see here. Not only perceive the problem, but prioritize your purpose. Prioritize your purpose. Look at verse 12. You know, Tony Evans, he tells about his Father's Day today. He tells about when he was 16 and he wanted his dad to start letting him have more responsibilities. And he'd always say to his dad, well, Dad, you know, I'm almost a man, you know. In a few years, I'll be a man, so you might as well start letting me practice now some of the things I'll do then. And his dad would always say, he wrote, when you start acting like a man, then you can start having more of those responsibilities. And he said, basically, you want the responsibilities of adulthood, but you're acting like a baby. You're still acting like a kid. In the same way, there are many Christians spiritually, they're not maturing, they're not producing fruit that fits with the level of maturity where they should be for the number of years they've been Christians. And folks, we know, and this is why the writer says this, because time went by with these Hebrews. They weren't new Christians. Just because we get older doesn't mean we're necessarily growing more mature spiritually. It should be, and that's the point. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. And this is what the writer of Hebrews wanted them to see in verse 12. By this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. Somebody said some should have been teachers, able to instruct others by this point, but tragically, they were losing grip on the truth in their own lives. See, in whatever way we might teach, and this passage doesn't mean you've got to all be preachers. Of course not. Or teach a Sunday school class or a Bible study. Though some of you may be called to do that, you don't realize it. But this is talking about taking the gospel truth, passing it on. But as I said earlier, we are not going to be able to teach and disciple others in what we're not growing in ourselves. And how do you know? What's one of the key signs that you know you're making progress spiritually? Well, the Bible is clear. It's spiritual fruit in our lives. We're maturing in Christ-like character, but we're also reaching out to others and sharing what we have and teaching others. We're discipling others in our family, in the church with newer Christians. It's one sign of growth. An apple tree is seen as a mature one when it starts to have apples. A tomato plant is mature when it starts to produce tomatoes. You know, we know it's true, don't we? As someone said, it's one thing to kind of understand something a little bit and get it yourself when you read it, but isn't it a whole different level of understanding when you get enough learning to explain to somebody else what you've learned? It means you've got a firm grasp of the big picture of that truth. And the studying to give out and the act of giving out is what increases your understanding of that truth. And that's what the writer's trying to get at here. Truth heard but not internalized, not experienced, not used and maintained will be lost. And this is what had happened to these Hebrews. They weren't new Christians. Some time had gone by. And what they first heard and believed about the gospel of Jesus Christ that should have been taken and applied in their relationships and church and used to help others in evangelism and discipleship and building up the church, it hadn't been used and they had lost it. And therefore, they were acting like they were back in the years before, like babies spiritually needing to be spoon-fed instead of adults that can help other Christians grow with what they were learning and also take in more of the meat of the word. I like the story Leroy Elms tells of the lost art of disciple making, this book he wrote many years ago. If you know anything about Florida, you know there's lots of oranges there. That's the orange state. And he said he remembered driving through Florida one time, orange trees everywhere you looked around. And they stopped into this place to get breakfast. And he wanted a glass of orange juice, just a little bit of orange juice for his breakfast with his eggs. And guess what? The lady said, "I'm sorry, sir, we can't give you any orange juice." Why? Because the machine is broken. And he said, "There I was. I thought, you know, I'm in this place. There's millions of oranges, orange slices garnishing our plate, surrounded by thousands and thousands of gallons of juice, and we couldn't do it because the restaurant was dependent on a machine." It's like the old saying, you can give a man a fish and feed him for a meal. You can teach him how to fish and feed him for a lifetime. And that's what we're supposed to be about, folks, is equipping people, helping them grow. And Christians like these Hebrews can be like this sometimes, you know. It's not that we don't have the oranges. We got the Bibles. But can we get into it? Can we do it? Yes, pastors are there to preach and teach, and teachers that are gifted can do that, and we should. But we all ought to be growing in a way to where we can get God's word ourselves, where we have a responsibility. And this was the problem. A lot of Christians have not grown enough to know how to get the juice themselves. And they should have been at this point able to do it. And there are a lot of Christians like that today. A lot of people assume that all the instruction is left up to just a few people, the preacher, the elders, a few teachers, and they can't get what God has to say. And yes, the preacher has an important job. I'm not taking away from that. But whatever situation you are and position God's put you, He can use you. And you're really only going to grow as you give out. You take it in,
to give it out, and you grow.
Husbands and fathers can't do what they need to do spiritually to help their kids if they're not growing in this. There'll come a time where a question might be asked, and will they be ready to answer? Will they be mature enough? I mean, we're going to all have opportunities we need to be ready for so that we can share the gospel, so that we can build up other Christians. But we need to start maturing now. So we'll be ready for those times. In context, part of the point with these Hebrews who wanted to go back to Judaism was they hadn't applied the grace to their lives, the milk. They didn't understand more and more how Jesus was their high priest. And they were unwilling to move out of their comfort zones. And they were blending in with their old Jewish ties and the culture. And part of growth was for them to be ready to grow and to give out and use what God has given them. Growth often comes, one man said, as we get out of our comfort zone into the roles where God wants us to use His truth, share His truth. Maybe for you it's a Bible study, starting one. Maybe for you it's reaching to the homebound. Maybe it's sharing with your family. Maybe it's sharing at work. You know, I read about this comedian. He was talking about the universal ability to forget what we've learned. And he said he thought it would be good to start a 5-minute uni where one could learn in 5 minutes all we'll remember 5 years after graduation. And sometimes we feel like that, don't we? If we don't take it in, if we don't use it, we forget it. I was a business major before seminary, and I took advanced economics, for crying out loud. And yet my son lately has been asking me, as he studies economics, certain theories, and I don't have a clue. I've forgotten. You don't use it, you lose it. Isn't that true? These basic principles of God's Word, the ABCs at the beginning of the Word of God, are the main things. That's what he's talking about here. It's literally the first principles or rudiments here of the beginning. It's like the idea of the alphabet, right? You got to have the alphabet to know how to read, and then know how to write, and then know how to use language and speak. There's nothing more basic than ABCs, what children learn at first. The problem wasn't that they had the basics. It's one that they just wanted to stay in the basics. They didn't want to build on the basics. We don't lose sight of the basics of the gospel ever. Don't misunderstand me. That's the foundation. But we're meant to have a foundation to build on it, right? And to use it. And to grow in our understanding more and more about Jesus, and to build into other people's lives. But they just wanted to, instead of being teachers in Sunday school, they wanted to basically stay in the crash spiritually and keep having the mama's milk when it came to spiritual food. And they were meant to grow. And that's why he's telling them to grow up. That's the priority, to grow in the gospel ABC so we can build on them, not hang on to them, not stay there, but use them to teach others. But the problem was they needed the ABCs re-taught to them at this point, didn't they? It's good to review the basics of the gospel, but they're having to completely relearn it because they've regressed so far, some of them, and sometimes that can happen. It doesn't do any good to put a steak dinner in front of a baby if he can't chew it. The problem was there were some of them who needed to be ready to chew the steak. It was time to grow up and mature. And it's like I say, they listened at first to the main things. They learned the basics of the gospel, but they lost it. They fell away. They didn't internalize it. That's why the word again is so key here, because it shows they didn't internalize the teaching of the gospel, the milk, the grace they had learned about. They forgot what they should have known by heart at this point. And we need to remember that. The importance of internalizing the truth we receive, taking them to heart so we're established, so we're able to disciple those around us in our families, new Christians in the church. And the more we learn, and we should want to learn more and grow so we can give out to others. And you know what we find is that as we give out, God will help us grow to where we're able to take in more of His Word and we're able to feed on it more. He develops our spiritual teeth where we can chew on the meat and we can dig into the pearls of God's Word in Christ, the gold of God's Word, and we deepen and we experience the rewards of knowing Christ. That's what God wants for every Christian. And we're to learn to do that and use the truths of the Bible. And you know what? As we use them, as we give them out, God uses that to cement His truth of grace and who we are in Christ in our souls more and more. Knowing who we are in Christ, knowing about Christ, knowing our calling in Him, able to chew and take in the meatier parts of God's Word. No, of course, this is not saying everybody's meant to be a pastor or a teacher or a preacher, but that as every Christian matures in the gospel, we're to pass it on to others and to use it. I mean, think about it. If you just eat physically all the time, but you don't go to a gym or you don't do some way of exercising, what happens? You're looking at it. And I'm trying to get better with it. You get flabby, don't you? Well, that happens in the spiritual realm, folks. No joking aside here. All jokes aside. We're meant to take it in, and we eat it, and we are fed by His Word, but we're meant to then use it. We're meant to exercise. That's how we grow stronger. Somebody said, if you only hear truth but never write it out, never wrestle with it, never try to repeat it or explain it, you'll never really own it. And God wants us to own it. He wants us to know what we believe in Jesus Christ. We're growing in Him. We're teachers for Him, disciple makers for Him. We're able to take His Word. We're exploring it, asking Him to help us use it and grow in it and give it out. Albert Mohler said, a congregation should consist of willing, maturing disciples, training up newer, lesser ones. They've been teaching, able to teach others, but instead this group was lapsing spiritually. And they weren't maturing. They weren't growing. You know, the Dead Sea is dead, as I've said before. Why? Because it's filled with salt and brine and all these materials. And you float on it. But why is it like that? Because it doesn't have an outlet. It doesn't have a way to give out. And we only grow. You know, there's truths that God's giving me as I study them. And it's not for me to keep to myself, it's to preach and share to you. Well, in a different way, it's for you to use and share with others. And that's how you grow. That's how it's digested into your system, spiritually speaking, as you share it, as you use it. And we need to remember that. And that leads me to the third thing, partake of solid food. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. And everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. It's kind of like people you see on a treadmill at the gym, right? They might be burning some calories, but they're going nowhere. And some people are like that spiritually. It's like going through the motions of all these things, but are we taking in the meat of God's Word? These Christians weren't acquainted with the teaching of righteousness, meaning an understanding of God's grace and the full implications of it. They were seen as Christians, but they didn't grasp really how the Christian faith works. In other words, they didn't understand the truth of salvation, of Christ's righteousness alone, and how that affects our righteous living and godly living in everyday life. And they needed to move on to the meat if they were going to grow. They needed to partake of it. They wanted to stay on the bottle, and so they were remain inexperienced in applying the gospel to their lives. They weren't moving ahead, not applying the truth of grace to their lives. And they weren't growing. And people who are like this are unskilled in the message of the gospel. Of how we're saved by grace through faith, by Christ's righteousness. But then that affects the way that we live in godliness and what God has called us to do. And just as babies begin with milk and move on to solid food, believers begin with the basics. Yes, they're easier to digest. But then we're meant to move on to more rewarding, more challenging truths. We're not ever to forget the ABCs of the gospel, but we're meant to grow in understanding who Jesus Christ is as we get into God's Word. I'll never forget this guy years ago telling me when I was teaching a communicants class for kids one time. He said, well, it's good you want to teach them all this stuff about the Bible, but doesn't it all that really matter they believe in Jesus? Sounds really good, doesn't it? But folks, there have been Christians sitting in churches for years hearing sermonettes with little depth, it seems, and then when it's time to take in the meatier messages, they can't take it. But this text says the problem isn't the message. It's a lack of maturity. There are people who think it's a waste of time sometimes to learn about doctrine, to learn about theology, to get deeper and know who we are in Christ. But it's never a waste of time. Albert Moeller tells him when he was 10 years old, complaining of his tummy aching, and his dad told him something he never forgot. He said, "Albert, you're 10 years old, you don't have a tummy anymore. It's a stomach." He said it stung a bit as a kid, but he needed to know where he was. Tummy didn't fit with his maturity level. He was meant to grow up. Look, do we always need the milk of grace? And yes, the basics of the faith, yeah, in a sense, that's true. Yes, we do. But we're meant to grow in it. They've come to a point, as some Christians are today, where you need to grow up. You're meant to learn more. You're meant to dig in. Children begin with milk, but they don't stay there. And if they're not advancing to solids as a child, if they're saying, "I don't want to eat that, get it out of my face," we know it's not good. We have to grow up. It's a good sign when a child wants to learn to start to eat the deeper food, the adult food. You know, it's not that it's wrong, nothing wrong with milk, but it's kind of like sometimes these people, you know, who want to go on these diets and they're just eating soup all the time. Maybe you can do that for a while, but man, I think, man, I can't do that. We need the meat of God's Word. And that means, folks, that's why we're taking a book like Hebrews. That's why we're studying it. But are you doing things on your own to read it on your own? Maybe get some books on it and dig into it deeper. What are you doing in getting into a Bible study where you can really grow and maybe get around some Christians or somebody that will disciple you and help you know more about Christ? Look at your reading life. What are you reading? Is it things that are going to help you grow to know more about Christ? To know who you are in God? To know what He's called you to do? Or is it more self-focused? Is it self-help? Like what we see in our world today. And that leads me to the final point as we close. And that's practice the truth. Verse 14. Perceive the problem, prioritize your purpose, partake of solid food if you want to grow. And finally, he closes here with practicing the truth. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I was reading about these Dutch children years ago. I think it was a long time ago. They uncovered this unexploded World War II artillery shell, and they were playing with it. It was still live. Thankfully, after a number of days, the authorities found it, and they were able to let it explode in another area. No one was hurt. But the point is this, folks. There are people, when we're children in our faith and childish in our faith and we're not maturing, we can be just like those kids. Those who aren't maturing fail to recognize the danger. That's the writer's point here. The danger of the bombs out there in the world of temptation and sin. And they play with sin almost. They play with bombs. And that's true in the spiritual realm. Someone wrote, two features of spiritual infancy are highlighted here. First relates to the diet, and second to their discernment. The infant is neither able to chew or to choose rightly. Mud goes into the mouth of an infant spiritually as well as milk. And immature believers can show an aversion to spiritual truth, saying, "Well, what's wrong with that? Why can't I have that? Or I don't want to hear God's word on that." But a sign of maturity is when you've learned to, your senses being trained, to discern right from wrong out in the world. If we see a baby playing out in the dirt, scrubbing itself with dirt, we don't get too worried, do we? But a 21-year-old, we know he's lost his marbles. But there are some Christians been living a long time that are playing in the dirt. But if we're growing faithfully, feeding on the meat of God's Word, growing in Christ, we learn by constant use what the dirt really is. We desire to stay out of it more and more. We know the newness of life in Jesus we have because we've been trained in it through constant practice and use. And those are the ones who take in the solid food of the Word of God, the meat. And see, these folks, they should have recognized it was wrong to turn from Christ. That's what this whole book's about, isn't it? They're wanting to turn away from Jesus. They should have recognized it. But a lot of them weren't. At least as far as we can tell. The word train here in Greek is the word we get our word gym from. A gymnasium. It literally means they, those that are mature spiritually, go to the spiritual gym in God's Word. And it takes discipline and it takes practice. And then in doing that and practicing and growing, we mature and we learn to recognize what God's will is in some of the most difficult situations. And then we get into God's Word. And God's Word is real to us. It doesn't disorient us. We get in it and we see the truths that are there more and more. And we see how to apply it. And it's, we love God's Word and we see what it means and we see how it relates to what we're facing. Romans 12:2 said, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's perfect, His pleasing will is. But folks, this practice isn't just about hearing or reading the Word. It means that, as we said earlier, we're learning to do it repeatedly. It doesn't do any good if people just come to church every once in a blue moon and then they don't come for a long time. How much good does it do if you just open up your Bible? Okay, it's a good day, I think I'll read it today, and then you don't read it for another 2 or 3 weeks. That's not how we grow. It takes practice. Think about a heart surgeon as we close. Can you imagine your heart surgeon who has to stop in the middle of what he's doing in surgery and rethink cardiology? Would you want one like that? I mean, he had to go back to his textbook and think about what it means to, what do I do here? That wouldn't be good, would it? But there are Christians that are like that. I remember my dad telling me that one time when I was a young Christian. He's like, and he's not a Christian. He's like, don't you know what the Bible says on this? You're having to go look it up right now? I mean, it's not wrong to have to go look it up. And we've got to always be in God's Word. But he did have a point a bit. This type of person maturing and where we want to be is getting in the Word in the harder parts, putting the time in, digesting the meat, becoming wise, seeing how to live for the Lord even in the gray areas of life. And we're able to walk in a newness of life and we're delighting ourselves in the Lord. And we're growing. Let's pray now as we close.